I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Episode 5.
Penultimate of the season.
It's the penultimate.
Sad times. It's all right, though.
It's almost coming to an end.
You can re-listen to these, though.
That's all I do. Let's listen to them on loop throughout the day.
I listen and only laugh at the things I've said.
Yeah. Same here, actually.
Yeah. So this is exciting. We went on had a few beers last night.
Lads night out. It wasn't just lads, ladies.
All our other halves.
Yeah. But it was really fun.
It was good fun. It was
good. We're a good team.
Yeah.
You were first to leave.
I was first to leave.
Yes. Me and Trev stayed. Had some bonding. It's rare. Just me and Trevor. Because I think he emails you more than me.
He does email.
So I do get a bit jealous.
Do you?
But then me and Trev had some beers. So
he likes me over the internet and you in person.
Yes.
So and then he's just done a live drawing. So I want to know.
I want to see the picture.
He's scared. Told
me he's not a good drawer. So I think it's going to be rough.
I'm thinking stick woman with massive boobs is what I'm thinking right now.
Or, yeah, like a sort of stick man, but just stopped at the waist because he just refused to look down.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, he's been doing good this season. So hopefully it's another way of him calming himself down.
Let's get Trev in.
Yo, Trev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, okay, cool today. I feel cool, man.
You feel cool?
Nah, I don't. I do. Pretentious Americanism.
What have you been up to today?
I went to the gym, because we delayed the broadcast, didn't we?
Should we talk about
We can talk about how we nearly became babysitting Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I mean, it's one of the most stressed I've seen you.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's the most stressed I've seen you in this year.
I was, it's so boring. I think it involved the upload of something onto the internet by a deadline and it didn't happen. And I was
so flustered.
I needed something Trev to just sort of coach me through it or something, just to tell me to not give a shit and nothing matters in life because we're all going to die soon.
Yeah, well, there's very little chance you're going to get it.
It was for
one chance in 100.
Yeah, so and I'm probably not going to get it.
So 99% chance of getting fuck all.
Yeah. Mate, if I get it, paid, I'll buy everyone a trip to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'll buy you a trip somewhere, but knowing you, you probably loads of places you can't go to.
Were you there last night when I was discussing how we should have a group holiday?
But to
like Magaluf.
Magaluf.
Be like sort of a disgusting lad's holiday.
Babysitting Trevor in Magaluf.
Jesus. I don't know. One of those, what do they call it? You get them on television all the time, cheap Channel 5 shows with people vomiting.
Brits Abroad.
Brits Abroad, that kind of idea.
Grease Uncovered.
Us three in Iron Napa.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you been on a lad's holiday, Trev?
No, I haven't actually. No, even my wedding was not a lad's. I'm not into laddie things at all. No.
So you didn't have a stag do? You didn't have a stag do?
No, not right. No, just fucking people are people and, you know, that's... That was it, really.
People are people.
Yeah.
What did that mean? Does that mean you went for a drink with some
people? I quite
like
the company of women. I wouldn't mind being at like a hen's night, but I'm the only man.
Maybe we can sort this out.
Yeah.
That's for season three. We're going to get you to go on a hen
Trevor
weekend.
Yeah, I do like talking to women. They're nice. They are full of empathy and
sympathy. Oh, I totally agree. I think it's really important to have
friends. Discuss things with women you can't possibly do with a man. Yeah, I mean, well, you discuss things with your mates.
Yeah,
you can't with a woman. Yeah, I mean, more emotive things with a woman.
Yeah, women are more in control of their emotions.
I think men are getting more that way. Yeah, I think even more. Like us, sort of classic, metrosexual types. Oh, yeah, we're much becoming, more in touch of our emotions.
Becoming more effeminate and weak.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is we can now probably discuss more freely things that in the past.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This is sort of like one big audio hen do right now for anyone listening. Three men on a hen do.
Crack a bottle of Prosecco.
Put our learner plates on the back of our head. And
I reckon we could go to Amsterdam for a fucking weekend, couldn't we? That'd be more to my liking.
That would be awesome.
I think we know why, Trey.
I mean, that would be a lot of fun.
I'd rather go to Amsterdam.
You're just a keen cyclist,
I can cycle, but I'm not keen.
No, I was joking. I know you're not going to Amsterdam for the cycling trip.
I know some places in Amsterdam be fucking great.
I don't want to know them, Trev.
Instagram territory.
But if we go to Amsterdam, none of it is being recorded for any future use.
But you said, so today you're going to the gym, but the reason I brought that up is I was late because I was basically having a panic attack here, and then producer Joel told me something pre your trip to the gym that you did.
Yeah, I showed you my legs.
Yeah.
I show you my legs off sometimes. I just pull my pants down anywhere.
Well, I was out of the room. I heard you say something and Joel reacts like he'd seen a ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
he
called me in. I came in and you were just there. You just dropped your trousers and you were showing off.
Yeah, that's
it looked more like you were showing off your pants than it was your
legs.
Although,
I do it all the time. I used to do it all the time, actually, when I was younger. Like, to women, I just drop my pants in the middle of a bar or something and say, fucking check my thighs out. So I'm doing a lot of squats.
Why you prefer the company of women?
Yeah.
How is it received when you do that? Because obviously, in a way, if you see someone drop their pants, you think they're going to show a penis, which is sort of an assault, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, but it's flashing, isn't it?
So, it's flashing, but hamstrings, I guess it's
People generally didn't like it. They thought I was being a bit strange.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fair enough assessment. I'd argue that is correct.
Yeah, I just add my legs, and I thought, you know, I've worked hard on them, so I felt like showing them, you know, it's a bit like a sculptor would show his little fucking chiseled form.
That's a great way of describing it. I guess a flasher could describe the same. A flasher's got an excellent penis. Yeah. They could be like, but I guess you've not worked hard on a penis, have you? You've just got a penis.
No, my penis is hand-reared. That's like free range.
I wouldn't say flashers are showing it off because they think they've got a lovely penis.
Oh, yeah.
I think there is
they get a thrill from scaring people.
And that element of control.
I've seen a lot of flashers actually. I went to a strip club in Sydney years ago, and
are they called strippers? Strippers.
And you've chosen to go and look at their boobs.
No, but the girl came out next minute. This old bloke, he must be in his 70s, got his cock out.
Starts
jerking off. He had like a really old body. A really old everything, but his cock was like the cock of a young man. It was like completely erect, and he just like starts beating it, and then he's jerking off, and the girl notices, and she waved to him. He must have been in the regular, you know what I mean? And she waved, and he waved back as he jerking. I don't know, did he synchronize the jerking off with the wave? It was like perfect synchronicity. Yeah.
It's like that's hard. It's like rubbing your belly and patting your head. Yeah, that's right. Isn't it?
I think his version is much more fun, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. This is one you can't get kids to on the playground.
Yeah, that's right. But I admired him.
He didn't
him
get kicked out or anything, was he?
No, he didn't get kicked out. But I admired it. The fact he was so old, he must have been in his 70s, yet he still had a complete. This is before Viagra. This is years ago. So he had just a complete hard on, a completely blue vein sticking out, completely erect.
I love your respect for his penis.
Only you in a strip club could see a bloke with a boner and have
that's the highlight for his boner. That's the highlight of being in a strip club is that massive
I just thought it was one bloke was so disgusted he walked out, a bit of a prude, but I looked and
sized that up.
Good on you, mate. A night out. I found out that Chris's lovely wife is going to be there as well. Count me in.
So actually, as our group task yesterday, we thought we'd have quite a nice one as a babysitting Trevor sort of evening drinks. Christmas party, middle of the summer. Yeah. It was a bit of team bonding.
It wasn't bonding. You weren't quite yourself. You looked a bit estranged.
Did I look estranged?
Yeah. A little bit. That's what I said. You looked a little bit stressed yesterday.
Yesterday, and that really carried into this morning.
I know.
I enjoyed you showing my wife your triceps.
Oh yeah,
it was actually more of a shoulder triceps combo.
Yeah, there is a point of an evening in any bar when yeah. enough booze is flowing that some man is going to get somebody to going to tense his muscles.
I should have dropped the pants, shouldn't I? I can check these out.
But it was very skinny legs, so she probably
I'm saying I know it's your legs, they are very very polio like.
Oh, polio legs, yeah. They're very svelte, I would describe them as. But it was nice. Your lovely wife was there.
She was there. And she was in a good mood, wasn't she? She's always sweet. I mean, she's a lovely woman. I was telling Joel, I look at Julie coming towards me sometimes. I just feel this great, endearing love towards her, and I go, look at her. She's so fucking lovely and sweet and innocent. And she's coming my way.
That's a great way to feel. She's so lovely. Yeah. And she's coming my way.
I was with her last night. I was in bed with her last night. Yeah. We're having a cuddle. You know what I mean? So she's got her head here and we're cuddling. And I said to her, you know, if the world was to end now, this is the position I'd want to be in. With having a cuddle. And then we're both vaporized.
such a romantic bit. If you just stopped before the vaporizer, I suppose that would have been the perfect compliment.
Okay. I somehow think that you'd, I know that you'd think that if you saw like you knew there was like some toxic gas coming towards the white, would you try and arm in arm run to your like bunker you've set up? Because I know you'd probably set one up. Would you just leave her for a bit dead because she wouldn't be able to keep up?
No, Julie's not as fit as me, so she'd probably die first. I'd try and help her, obviously.
Yeah.
But, there's only so much a man can do. So, the bunker for me. Yeah. We've already got fucking 3 seconds to get in there, wouldn't we? Because the fucking door slams at that point.
That's how Trevor Stans died.
So imagine, if it was basically you two,
imagine
the bunker was a mile away.
Yeah,
you could see the cloud of toxic gas coming towards you.
Yeah.
If you knew that she physically could not make it back to the bunker, but you reckon you could, you wouldn't just stand and die together?
Yeah, I'd die with her.
I'd
have to die with her.
You got it. You got fucking attitude.
Who'd clean your skid marks up in the bunker, mate?
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't. No, I'd have to die with her. I wouldn't. Yeah, obviously, it's going to be going to fucking hurt. But... doesn't matter. Fuck it, I gotta die sometime. Might as well be in the arm. Yeah, like I tried. Look, the gas is coming. We need to hold one another, lie down. So, in maybe 1,000 years' time, we'll discover our corpses. Yeah. It will get vaporized, but poison gas would still be intact. Maybe archaeologists would dig us up and then we'd be holding one another.
Nice.
And they'd go, look at those. They were in love, those two.
Yeah,
yeah. Those two skeletons.
Yeah. Well, that his face, he looks livid.
Yeah, that's right. He had a look at his face going, I could have made it out of it. He got a face of regret. Yeah.
And he's still got a mustache. That survived.
Mustache on a skeleton.
Because
I left I had to, because I wasn't myself yesterday, Trev, but you know, this is my cheering me up right now. I had to shoot off. Just as you were mid telling me a story in our team bonding about your dad.
Mm.
Could you just remind me that story?
Which one was it?
The one about you when you were 6 or 7 knocking on the
door. This is when we lived in Congleton, which is a nice little town up in Cheshire, I think it is. And anyway, I go in at 6 or 7, I go, you know, walking down the path, knock on the door. My dad comes to the door and he says, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Trevor. I live here. He said, my dad said, no, you don't. And I'm going, fuck, you know, I said, oh, you're my dad. He said, no, I'm not. I don't know you. Who are you?
Oh, no, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fucking traumatised, you know what I mean? But I said, yeah, but I live here. And he kept, you don't. I don't know who you are.
Oh, that's horrible.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Oh, my
and
word.
Then he closed the door.
Oh, no.
And I go, I'm standing there, and I obviously start crying. Yeah. And I actually believed him. I actually believed he didn't know who I was. So then I go back walking down the path. I open the gate, and I look back, and the entire Crook family is standing in the front window, pissing themselves.
No wonder you got so much anxiety.
Yeah that was a practical joke.
Trevor, what did you look like?
I can't imagine a 6-year-old called Trevor.
Did you have the moustache?
Yeah, moustache.
Just the moustache and the skeleton.
Showing people my legs. That's it.
A 6-year-old weirdo with moustache.
I was the most angelic looking kid. I've actually got one photo that was taken at confirmation, I think it was when I was maybe 6 or 7, and I I've got a bit of a, not a demonic look in my eye. I've got like a bit of a devilish.
Yeah,
like I'm very sweet looking, golden curls.
Yeah.
And a lovely looking kid, but I had that twinkle in my eye, that little incorrigible twat that I grew up to be. Was in there lurking.
Did your dad play pranks on the other members of the family?
Was it no, just me.
Just you?
Yeah, it was me, always me.
What was your dad called?
What his name?
Yeah.
Sid.
What was your dad called? What his name? Does he have a nickname?
Yeah, no, my dad's name was Sid.
Oh, right. Sid Crook.
Sid Crook, that's
it's
right.
Good old. You don't get a lot of Sids now.
No?
You don't get many. You don't get that many Trevors.
No, you don't. It's an old-fashioned name. An old-fashioned name, but he was a good man, bit of a character in his own right.
What are your siblings' names?
There's Christine, that's my sister. Yeah. I've got Cindy, younger sister. And I've got my big brother, fuck, he's David. That's it.
Trevor and Sid, though, they're good. I feel like if you had a kid, you'd have to give him quite a kind of an old school name as well. What would you name your son if you had one?
Chris or Carl.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Then you'd have to do the old prank to them when they're sick. Yeah. Who are you, mate?
That's right.
It's a classic Crook family prank. Yeah. Pretending you don't know your kid till they cry.
Yeah.
Remember me, when I was a kid, I was, I loved snow. When I was, fascination with snow.
Oh, right, yeah.
And this one was like four up until maybe when we left to go to Australia. And I just used to watch it fall. I'd just like be totally entranced by it.
Yeah.
And I'd just like go outside when it snowed and I'd just stand there just looking up at it for fuck it, till it stopped snowing. I'd be there for hours. Mum had to come out and take me in.
Yeah.
So I just loved the flakes, watching the flakes, the big flakes when they were floating down. I'd just fucking look at them and go, fuck, look at that. Absolutely amazed by it. And at night I'd used to stand under street lights because you could see the snow.
Sort of
flitting through the light, and I'm fucking hypnotised, but I just stand there for fucking hours.
Yeah.
And once a copper came up to me and said, "What are you doing, son?" I just went, "Oh, I'm watching the snow." And then he just sort of walked off. And so I just,
film.
My Aunt Gladys used to, when she came in, because my mum told me these stories later, she said, Aunt Gladys said, once you came in, don't tell Trevor it's snowing because he'll never go to bed. You know, because I used to open the curtain and just stare at the snow coming down. Wow. Absolutely entranced with it. But then when it started to melt, I used to go hysterical. I used to go totally hysterical. I didn't know what to do. I was crying. And so I decided to save the snow.
Really?
Save the snow campaign. So I got my bucket and spade and I was shoveling. I was rescuing the snow as it melted. And I was sort of shoveling the snow in the buckets. And I was taking the bucket to the coal shed.
Yeah.
And I was just tipping it out there. I thought that would
save it. Put it in the coal shed.
Put it in the coal shed to save it. Yeah. I built like a mountain of fucking snow, back and forth. Made heaps, lots of buckets, trying to save the snow from the whole backyard. So bucket after bucket was sort of going into the coal shed. And I built like a big mountain. I thought I'd fucking saved it. And then I come out the next morning, obviously fucking nothing there, just melted. Fucking break down. Totally hysterical.
Didn't you think to put it in a cold thing?
I should have.
Like a freezer.
I don't think didn't have a fridge.
Oh, no, you didn't have.
We had sort of a cold pantry type thing, which was cold enough. But anyway, I was talking to the child of my cousin sent me an email just recently and said, "We were just talking about you and when you were a kid and how you used to save the snow."
Yeah.
So it's like, it's part of Congleton folklore now.
This weird, that nutty kid trying to save
it. Sounds like sort of a children's book.
It does.
The boy who tried to save the snow.
Yeah, save the snow. It's quite boy, endearing, isn't it?
The boy who loves snow. But I don't like it much now. It's fucking annoying.
You've really 180'd on snow. Now you're actively rubbing
fucking,
it out.
I've fucking gone off it. But the,
I've gone off snow.
Yeah, but no. So that was my childhood in Congleton.
I like that.
What's your take on the other weather? Because obviously you know you're not a fan of wind.
No, I don't like.
So as a child, you were scared of the wind, and then you became a lover of snow.
Yeah.
What's your take on the other sort of? What's your take sunshine, on rain?
Sunshine and rain.
What I like about rain is I like the. It makes you feel it's a communal spirit involved when you're being rained on. Like we're all getting wet together, and it brings people closer together.
Never thought of that. Where everyone's got their brollies up, looking at each other, going, "This weather's crazy."
It is. That's right.
It's like fighting aliens.
Yeah,
or something.
That's right. It's like you look at one another, and we're sharing this moment.
Yeah.
And I used to love. You don't get tin roofs here, but in Australia, when they build houses, they give them tin roofs because it's a quick set of tiles. You just put the sheet of tin on, but nail it down, fucking. So all the roofs had tin roofs.
Yeah.
So when it rained, it'd be absolutely deafening. Yeah, but it'd be like a good deafening. It wasn't. It would. You could go to sleep by it. Just it was like rhythmic like quite hypnotic. And have you heard that? You know, during winter, if it rained on your tin roof, you'd be snuggled up in bed, and the you could hear the rain pounding down on the tin roof. Yeah, it used to be beautiful. It was so nice. Really? And, so my memories of rain are very fond.
That's lovely. I love it. It's more weather reports from Trevor next week.
That's right.
Did you get drunk last night, Trevor? Mm. No, you didn't.
No, I don't get drunk anymore.
There was a little part of you that looked like you might have wanted to, though. There was a bit where after you'd left, Chris, there was a bit where I can't remember who.
I ordered a pint.
And
Julia said half.
But
a pint.
Julia sort of stepped in and said half a pint.
Yeah,
but she was talking to somebody else, and me and you were just sitting there on the side, and then you sort of looked at me and went, we could turn this into a big night. And part of me was like, we actually could.
I feel like getting drunk sometimes, do. But yeah, the after effects are going to be bad.
So I did have a little part of me last night that wanted to really roll one out. You know what I mean? Just go.
What do you do when you, like, what are you like when you get absolutely plastered?
I dance.
I do.
Yeah, I just dance, that fucking dancing and doing that sort of shit.
If there's music on, obviously.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Just under a light.
Even if there's no music.
Light looking at the snowman.
I dance, I skip. Yeah, when you're skipping as a kid, start to skip. I go home and suddenly...
Why didn't we get you that drunk?
Yeah, I break into a skip. I can still skip, actually, so I just...
Skip? What do you mean you're still skipping?
Skipping down the street where you...
Oh, yeah. When you're a kid, start skipping.
Not like skipping rope.
But no, can't everyone still skip? Yeah. Forget how to skip, dude.
No, we can still do it. See if we can still do it.
No. Trevor's going for a skip.
Oh my god, I wish this is a video podcast.
It's a good way to travel, actually.
It's a good way to travel. It's the most inconvenient way I've ever seen.
It's a very good
travel.
Way to travel. This is indoor skipping, mate. It's not fireworks, and everyone's good indoors as outdoors.
What do you reckon, though? Where does the, in terms of energy use, does skipping fall into the sort of range of
you get a momentum
running? But no, is it using more energy than running, or?
I think you lose less. I feel less fuck skipping than running.
If society was more accepting of you skipping down the street, I guess you'd be doing more skipping between.
You'd
places.
Probably throw a net over me if I can see an old
bloke. They should have a skipping machine, and obviously you can do skip rope at the gym. That'd be good as a running machine as a stepmaster.
You could skip on a running machine.
Yes, you could.
It would look amazing to see Trevor in the gym on a skip. But no, skipping on a running machine.
But I skip, and I've got a stupid grin on my face. This is going to get really pissed. But I'm not non-violent, and I'm not violent at all. I just get very...
it's very often violent while skipping. It really undercuts the violence. Did you get punched off? Yeah, by a bloke skipping.
Yeah, you wouldn't feel a threat if a bloke was skipping a ward. You wouldn't think you'd punch me in the head, would you?
You know, you said when Julia's coming towards you, she's really beautiful, and she's coming towards me. She must be going, Joe's a piss nutter, and he's skipping towards me. Oh, dear. That's amazing. So it was a nice little...
It was a nice little...
Next time, we've got to get you skipping drunk.
Yeah, all right.
That's what we should do. We'll have one night where we just all have to get battered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life drawing class. A naked woman. Just what I need at the moment.
So the individual task, I was excited about this. I couldn't go, but I was like, Trevor is going to go to a life drawing class. And
have you ever done life drawing before?
I was a nude model.
Oh, you've modelled,
Is that in a bar when you just got your trousers down to show?
Yeah, I went to
unofficially.
At the ANU, Canberra University, actually. Yeah. Quite good money, $30 an hour. So you go there decent and get wedge. Your gear off. And
how many hours is it, though?
Oh, a couple of hours.
That's decent.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I do it 2-3 times a week. They get sick of your body eventually, though.
But as you were saying to me, that the problem is, obviously, once you pick a pose, you've got to hold it for an hour. And you said sometimes you pick poses that are way too hard.
They've got 5, 10, 20-minute poses.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so obviously you've got to pick... You got to know your poses. You pick ones that are supposed to be 5 minutes and fucking 20 minutes in agony. Lactic acid build up, fucking. You know what I mean?
What sort of poses you go for?
They have lines. lying poses, standing poses. They leave you, it's like, do whatever you like.
So it's free, you have the freedom. So.
Yeah, they're like drawing fat people, actually, believe it or not. But they reckon they're more challenging, more interesting.
Right. Yeah, I imagine a body to draw would be, it's more going on,
more
isn't
fold
it?
And that, and it's more intricate than a fat person.
I still think, like, there must be, like, obviously there's no rules, but I bet when you see, there must be kind of, you get told to choose your pose, but there must be a bit of, like, the bit you bring is, I want to really impress them with a difficult pose. So you kind of go for that, like, you know, on one knee, that, like...
I did some martial arts pose, actually.
Oh, really?
I did some martial arts.
Naked doing a crane.
Yeah, naked fucking martial arts poses. And obviously, I was worried about I might get excited because the class is predominantly women.
Yeah. So all fully clothed and drawing.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to take precautions.
What precaution was that?
Precautions.
Not one out before?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you have to.
I once got accused of getting an erection at a life drawing class. When I was 16, I went to a life drawing class as part of my art A level. And there was about 10 of us from the class that went, and if the model was a lady, and we were using our easels, but we were only using like A3 paper, and I preferred to sort of hunch over and draw on my lap.
Naturally
everyone went, why have you got your pad on your lap? Classic. And it's word got around, I got a boner.
There's nothing worse than at school being accused, wrongly accused of having a boner. A guy at my school called Mark Richards, someone sat on his lap when he was 13, and I still think... Richards is the kid who got a boner because he had a boy sat on his lap.
I had boxer shorts, you know, with no underpants. Yeah, the boxer shorts, I'd wear them. Yeah. And you get an erection, it's just absolutely bait like a circus tent poking out like that. And I started to quite enjoy it. I'd sometimes walk past a woman with a boner on. I shouldn't be saying this, it sounds a bit fucking... a bit bizarre.
But what, just in the street you'd have a boner?
Yeah. Because, you know, when you're 13.
When you're 13.
When you're a kid.
When you're a kid, that's... But you're just in your boxer shorts?
Yeah, my boxer shorts. So I was absolutely massive.
Producer Joel there, when you said you were young, 13, you went...
That's okay. Otherwise, was that bloke in the strip club actually you? Was that who it was? There's a guy with boners.
This is not to get too graphic, but I still... pretty much get a boner every time I'm on a flight and we land. I've never not got off a plane with a boner.
Your dick's just paying some respect to the country. Dick wants to explore the place.
But it's weird. It's like that, something about that coming in for landing. Yeah. Maybe it's a change of pressure and just the vibrations of the landing, whatever. But I always
wonder if that would alter the fucking flight in some way. Have everybody got a boner?
Can you put your dicks on an airplane mode, please?
You don't want mine on airplane mode.
It gets massive. Yeah. Really inappropriate.
Yeah.
I am talking of boners. I always get one on the sitting above the back seat of a bus.
Oh yeah, totally. On the engine, the back.
Especially.
Of course.
Yeah, I always get one doing a podcast.
I've got one now. Is that the edge? You're going to skip it off just then.
That's right.
So the individual task. So you go life drawing. You've done it yourself. I was excited to know.
Yeah.
And you were obviously hoping it was going to be a woman.
Yeah. I wrote a poem. I'll show you. I did write a poem, a little short poem about it.
All right. And then so what happened at the life drawing class?
Fucking chickened out. So I didn't like where the room was. It was situated next to a graveyard and next to a church.
What, in between the two?
Yeah, in between the two.
Oh, my word.
So it's like my worst fucking nightmare. Yeah.
So just explain to the listeners, they might not know this, I don't know if we mentioned it in series one.
Yeah,
you don't like graveyards give you the creeps?
Yeah, so like part of my OCD, death phobia, or whatever it is. So I don't like graves, especially old graveyards, are far creepier.
So you didn't even go into the library?
No, I didn't. I just looked from a distance.
So did you just, you saw the building, so there's a graveyard?
And that's right. Yeah, just binoculars job, that one. I'm not fucking going in there, so...
But I thought, surely, I know that you're surrounded by death, but you are drawing life.
Oh, no, that's right. Did that
balance it out?
No, not really,
Is there if you'd have found out it was a very attractive lady doing the posing, would it have made you... potentially override your fear
A beautiful lady counterbalance death.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should Joel have gone in
we should have
and
got Joel
had
to,
done
yeah,
a recce?
Do a recce.
Probably said, if I could have fucking shagged or something as well as drawing.
That's how life drawing works.
Okay, no, not the way it works.
It's a brothel, Jeff.
But they said that, you can shag her as well. Oh, fuck it. You know,
Joel would have gone in and gone, I'm sorry. Trevor's outside, he won't come in because it's in between it. And they're like, he can shag her. Do you think he shags her? He can come in. I'll just check.
Hey, little buddy, do you want to come and shag? Hello.
Oh, look, Trevor's skipping again.
Oh, God.
No, but the, Yeah, I can overcome all these. At times I go, fuck it, what can you do? I mean, the phobias I've got, if it's going to create a little bit of discomfort, I don't do it. But if I go, well, there's no other choice. And sometimes I challenge myself. I go, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do it. Fuck the phobia. And I can overcome most of them.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, at times, depending on how vulnerable I'm at the time emotionally, you know, I tend to go, oh, I'm not feeling great anyway. This is going to fucking be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah. So would you just, if you were in there drawing it, would you be constantly worried about being haunted?
I'd be thinking the graveyard next door.
Just drawing as a skull.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of two boobs, just two skulls. Two skeletons with moustaches over.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I probably would be, I'd have a grave fucking headstone or something.
All right, maybe we need to basically find another life drawing
place.
Because that's the problem. A lot of them are in like sort of old church halls and
social
clubs that are attached to church. That's the idea.
If you were an alcoholic, you could never go to AA because they're always under a church hall.
Oh, are they really?
They often are. They're sort of weird, attached to old sort of social clubs to and make, halls that are attached to Church of England.
No, I'd have to keep fucking drinking, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Or get pitted. Drink enough that you can get in there.
Sorry guys, the only way I could get in the building. Can I fuck one of you as well? That's sweet in the deal.
Yeah.
Oh wow. So you didn't go.
No.
But you at least in your writing task have you prepared a poem?
Yes I did.
So what's the poem called, Trev?
Called Art Class.
Art Class.
So here we go. Today I received the news. Going to art class to draw a nude, not to perv like a sexual vulture. This is art, this is culture. To take my pencil and draw those lines, muscularity clearly defined. Flaws and perfection dealt with the same, nothing excluded from the frame. Every positive keenly observed, every contour forever preserved. Male or female, it doesn't matter. Though in honesty, I prefer the latter.
Hey, I like that. Nice. Short poems are good poems sometimes.
I could have extended it, but I thought, I got the closing line about the latter. I thought that's a good closing thing. And I don't need to say much.
And also, since you didn't actually do the life drawing,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be hard to give much detail on where it turned up, turned around, went home.
Yeah.
good art class. Right, Trev, Julie's analysis this week. The night out. There was a night out? What was that? Was I there? She was there. But I guess it wasn't a... weren't out till 5 a.m, were we? But
no.
It turns out your wife has a constitution.
It was such a casual night out that she didn't even realise she was on a night out.
Exactly.
When we went out, we were in the
loft bar. Did you not even realise? In the loft bar, we had a few beers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Maybe a night out for Julia consists of more raving than
night out for her is quite sophisticated.
Yeah, really. We were sophisticated. We sat around. We drank.
She likes dinner.
Go for a proper meal down in London or something. As a team, that'd be nice. She's gone. Sorry about the life drawing class, but that confronted one of his absolutely non-negotiable terrors: graveyards and churches. I know he was dreading the class because he was sure he was going to be rubbish at it. Like most of us, he's not picked up a crayon since he was in school. Brackets, crayon is the right word. It's a coloured pencil. But the location, put the kibosh on it. I thought the poem was okay.
Okay, I thought it was a good poem. Okay.
Well,
a bit understated there, Jury.
Well, coming from Trev, the most understated man ever.
It was a very good poem. Fuck. I sent it off to my professional poet friend, which I always do with my poetry.
Yeah.
I get her professional fucking.
Does he ever like
analysis?
Sort of? Does he ever go?
She, sorry.
I thought it was for some reason, some guy. Who's your friend? No, there was a guy you mentioned before, some old school Australian guy. That's why I confused it with him. Does she ever like go, that stanza's not quite right? Or does she ever give any technical
advice? No, well, I sent her the art poem, and she said it was delightful.
Okay.
And she's a professional poet. Well, and then the romantic one about Julie was an affirmation of my love for Julie.
Yeah.
Sent her that one. So I think she was being a bit harsh, being a bit academic about the whole fucking thing.
You've wounded him. He sounded a little bit smarted by that comment.
She's very academic, Julie.
She's a very smart woman.
She's
a very
intelligent woman. On an academic level, she is. You know.
And an emotional level.
Yeah. Oh, no, that as well.
But, yeah.
There's so
That's
many,
both levels.
Yeah, there's so many different types of intelligence.
What's the other intelligence?
Oh, anything. You could be a boxer and be a fucking genius, like Muhammad Ali, Jimi Hendrix on the guitar. Or, you know, so many different levels of genius.
Okay. What's yours?
Everything.
Oh, right.
That's good. All right. So, and then obviously, you know, graveyards and churches, we've learned.
We know. We know now.
Yeah,
life drawing needs to be done.
We need to do a recce.
Away from death.
Do a recce.
It's very Freudian. I think it's very Freudian. This fear I've got.
Yeah.
Still stuck with it.
Well, we'll find a life drawing place that isn't in a graveyard.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll go and draw some willies.
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. Who wants to go draw some dicks?
Yeah. All right.
All right. So next week, we'll make
the
sure.
Final episode.
Final episode.
We'll give you your final tasks of the
graveyard
season.
Graveyard free.
Yes.
Church free.
Yep.
See you next week, Trev.
Okay. See you all.
Yeah, so that was. I know it's an audio medium, but I wish there'd been a camera in the room, because my highlight by a mile was seeing Trevor skip.
It is a unique technique.
Something about a man who's probably around 60 skipping. You don't see a lot of blokes that age skipping.
You don't see.
I don't see anyone over the age of 8 who's not a girl skip.
Yeah. So it was a lovely thing to... We've got some footage, so we will release that online. My favourite moment was also a visual thing. It was just watching him just drop his trousers, walking into the room and seeing him with his pants just showing off his thighs.
It's just, he loves getting his thighs out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about him.
That was a...
I know. The only thing I regretted was we didn't get him hammered, but just to see that happen...
In a bar, in public.
That's maybe season three. Get Trevor. Spike his drink and see what happens. And that's not going to be for his anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Just what he gets arrested for public indecency.
Yeah. But it was great. And we've got one more episode to go. So I'm excited for next week.
Final episode of the season.
Group task. Trevor's going to give us a karate lesson. I'm excited.
Yes.
I've always wanted a karate lesson.
So have I, actually. I did Aikido briefly.
I never thought it would be from Trevor, but
no.
But even better. So Trevor, quick, give
me. And also, he's going to write a song to close out the season. Which I'm excited about. We've heard his poetry. We've heard his eulogies. We've heard his erotic fiction.
Is there anything this man can't do?
No, I don't think there is.
If you've enjoyed listening to Trev and his many skills, and I mean, obviously, the slight disappointing thing was in the last episode was one of his skills we'll never know about his life drawing due to the fact that there's a graveyard in the way. But
we'll find out for next season. We'll get a life drawing class that is there is no death within 500 metres.
Yeah, that's got to be the new rule. But if you've enjoyed, just rate us iTunes, get a friend to download it. The more new listeners we get, the better
tell
it is
your
for
family.
Us. Tell your family.
Tell your dad.
Facebook.com.
Tell your mum.
Tell everyone.
Tell your aunts.
You're going to list all family members?
Uncles.
Cousins?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
See you next week for the final episode.
Bye. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.